Hello, Abounding Grace Church. Today is May 17th, 2020. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, we know this is a beloved and comforting psalm written of David. And so I wanted to preach from that to us this morning. So Psalm 23, let me go ahead and read the psalm and then we'll ask for the Lord's help. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You for these beautiful words, these comforting words and truths. And I pray now that Your Spirit will help us, that He will open our eyes to see and understand and believe Your word. May it go forth in a powerful way now for Your glory. May You use it to call people to Yourself and to strengthen and comfort and encourage Your people today. We ask for Your help, please, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, as we continue to navigate this difficult season of COVID-19, I know that we can easily become discouraged or even fearful at times because we have real needs and we have lots of questions. And sometimes those questions don't have answers, at least not in our own ability. And so today I wanted to remind us that God is our shepherd, and that He loves us, and that He's faithful to care for us. So as we go through Psalm 23, I want to point out five pairs of blessings that the Lord gives us. So if you're taking notes, it'll just be real easy here. Just five pairs. Here's the first one. God graciously gives us salvation and peace. Salvation and peace. Look with me again at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Think about that. The Lord is my shepherd. This is covenant language. This is Yahweh, the covenant name of God. And this is not something that everyone in the world can say. Unbelievers, non-Christians can't say that the Lord is their shepherd. But David could say that. The Lord is the shepherd of His people. And God had graciously entered into a covenant with David. And so as we read this, the Lord is my shepherd, this points to our salvation, right? The Lord is the shepherd of His people. And how do we become one of His people? Well, we become one of His people. We're saved through faith in Jesus Christ. We come into, if we want to keep using the sheep picture, we come into His sheepfold through Christ alone. Jesus said in John chapter 10, that great chapter where Jesus says that He is the good shepherd, He says in verse 7 of that chapter that He is the door of the sheep. And so we can only come into the Lord's sheepfold through Jesus Christ. Jesus, the good shepherd, laid down His life for His sheep. And so by trusting in Christ's life, death, and resurrection, then we know that all our sins are forgiven, that we pass from death to life, and that we become one of God's children. And so we become one of His sheep through faith in Jesus Christ, through faith in the finished work of Christ. But where does that faith come from? Well, again, John chapter 10 helps us because Jesus says He calls us to Himself. He says in verse 27, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of My hand." And so as we think about the Lord being our shepherd and how that came to be, it's because God's sovereign grace sought us out. He called us to himself. He opened our eyes and unplugged our ears so that we heard Christ's call. We heard God's call to repent and believe. And so all Christians now can say confidently and thankfully to our God, we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. All followers of Christ can say this. Jesus is our shepherd. He is our good shepherd. And think about that. What a marvelous thing to say. The Lord is my shepherd. What an amazing truth. Almighty God, the everlasting Lord, is our shepherd. We belong to him. He has bought us. He has called us. He has saved us. He has adopted us. And so now the Lord and the creator and sustainer of all things is our shepherd. He has committed himself to us to provide for us, to protect us, to guide us, and to care for us. And that's why David says there in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means I lack nothing. I have everything I need. David knew that if the Lord is your shepherd, when the Lord is your shepherd, you can be confident that he will provide all that you need. In Psalm 37, 25, David, apparently at the end of his life or in older age, says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. The Lord is faithful to care for his people. So when you say the Lord is my shepherd, it's a blessed and secure reality to know that Almighty God is caring for me. Think about that. The Lord is my shepherd. The economy is not my shepherd. The government is not my shepherd. I'm certainly not my own shepherd. No, the eternal, unchanging, all-wise, all-powerful God is my shepherd. The sovereign, loving, and faithful Lord is my shepherd. And he will perfectly care for his people. And so as we say, the Lord is my shepherd, we think of our salvation. We think of God's grace in saving us. And that gives us peace. That God has saved us, that he's called us into his flock. We are his. We are one of his sheep. And he is our shepherd. No wonder David could say, I shall not want. I lack nothing. Now that doesn't mean that life is easy. We know David's life wasn't easy. Our lives are not easy. But it does mean that having the Lord as your shepherd gives you peace. Because you know that you're not going through life alone. You know that he is caring for you. He is providing for you. And that's the picture then in verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Sheep will not lie down unless their needs are met. If a sheep is fearful, if they're anxious about a predator, if they're anxious about not having food, they're not going to lie down. But the picture here is one of peace and contentment because the needs of the sheep are being met. And so because the Lord is our shepherd, we can have real peace. We know that Christ has made peace between us and God. All our sins have been paid for. We've been reconciled to God forever. And so he is our heavenly Father. He is our loving shepherd. And so we have a true and abiding peace because God loves us. And we know that he is taking care of us. And how precious is that peace? The New Testament says it's a peace that passes all understanding. Even though we live in a fallen and chaotic world, we are secure in our Father's care for us. And that leads us to point number 2. We saw that God has graciously given us salvation and peace. Well, now secondly, we see he gives us provision and restoration. Again, look at verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Again, think about the picture of sheep. Sheep cannot fend for themselves. They cannot provide for themselves. They need a shepherd to provide for them. And that's what the shepherd does. He continually leads the sheep to areas where they can find food. And we know in this region, this part of the world, grass was scarce. But the shepherd knows where to find the grass. And so he leads the sheep to different areas where they can graze. And David describes here the provision of the Lord in bountiful terms when he says in verse 2, the Lord makes me lie down in green pastures. That phrase, green pastures, highlights the abundant provision of God. Pastures suggests meadows for grazing, and the word there translated green often refers to lavish and bountiful grass that you would find at springtime after the rainy seasons. And so you put that phrase together and it conveys the image of a land with plenty of food, plenty of fresh grass on which to graze. And so David says, the Lord provides for his people. He provides abundantly for his sheep. David also says the Lord provides water there, verse 2. He leads me beside still waters. The waters are not rushing. They're not dangerous for the sheep. No, it's a safe place for the sheep to drink. It's even a place where the shepherd could wash the sheep, could mend any wounds they had. And so the shepherd is providing everything that the sheep needs, food and water, protection, healing. And so we're reminded that God's care for his people is generous. God's care for his people is all-encompassing. He provides for our physical and our spiritual needs. We depend on him for our daily bread, and he is faithful to provide it. And again, my mind goes to the needs of our flock right now here at Abounding Grace. Several of us are in a time of need. Many of you are needing a job right now. And so let us together continue to call out to the Lord that he will provide. Others have spiritual needs or physical needs. God will meet those needs. He is faithful. Because remember, God has provided for our greatest need already, hasn't he? Our need of salvation, our need of reconciliation, and he has done that through Jesus Christ. And so Romans 8 reminds us that he who did not spare his own son, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Verse 32. God will be faithful. He provides for us. So God gives us provision. And remember, I said he also gives us restoration. We see that in verse 3. He restores my soul. What a short little sentence. It's only two words in Hebrew, but it's so powerful. It's so beautiful. He restores my soul. Think about that. God restores our soul first by giving us life, new life in Christ, right? The Bible says our hearts by nature were dead and we were lost. We were separated from God. But God graciously gave us the new birth and he restored us to a right relationship with him. I love that word, restore. He provides restoration. He provides strength and life. He provides real rest for our souls. Rest from alienation from God. Rest from trying to earn God's favor. Rest from being enslaved to sin as we were by nature. He sets us free. He restores us back into a right relationship with him. And I was reminded of Jesus' words in Matthew 11:28, when he's called out and said, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God restores our souls. He gives us new life in Christ, and daily he restores our souls. As we go through this world and we battle the world and the flesh and the devil, we know our souls get worn down, our hearts get soiled and weary. But Jesus, our good shepherd, leads us to places of rest. He draws us back into his love to abide. He washes us with the water of his word. He restores our souls. I thought of another psalm. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." And so God's word restores our souls. And time again, God leads us then to places where we can rest in him, where we can fellowship with him, where we can have our souls restored through his word and by his spirit. And in those sweet times of communion and worship, God, he restores us, doesn't he? He heals our wounded spirits. He restores our weary souls. He mends our broken hearts. He comforts our anxious thoughts. And so I know, again, many of you are going through difficult times. And as I prepared this, and even as I preach it, I think about those who are in need of restoration right now. Let me ask you, where in your life do you need God's grace to restore you? Where do you need restoration? Do you need it in your walk with Christ? Need a revival in your fellowship with your Lord? Maybe you need it in your marriage. Maybe you need it in your love for God or your love for others. God's word will restore your soul. Our good shepherd will lead us to places, lead us to Him, draw us back to Him where He will restore our soul. He leads us to places and times of prayer and the word, of worship and fellowship with the saints, to relationships that can help us and keep us accountable. He leads us there. But sometimes we're stubborn, aren't we? Sometimes we resist His leading. Sometimes we get stiff-necked and refuse to go to the places of rest and healing. We don't want to abide in His love and in His word. Instead, we plow ahead with cold hearts and distant relationships. And so I just urge you not to do that, but rather to follow the leading of your shepherd. Follow your good shepherd into places of rest. Let His love, let His words wash over you to restore your soul. And so God graciously gives us salvation and peace, provision and restoration. And now thirdly, guidance and protection. Guidance and protection. Again in verse 3, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We know that sheep are prone to wander, right? They often wander away. But a faithful shepherd is out front leading the sheep down the paths that they should go. And again, I think about our Christian life, and the Bible says that by nature we were all on a broad path that led to destruction. But God's sovereign grace called us off of that broad path and through the narrow gate and onto the narrow way that leads to life. And now having called us onto this narrow way, God leads us daily down paths of righteousness. He leads us by His Spirit and He leads us by His Word. His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119, 105. And oh, how we need that guidance, don't we? This world has many choices to navigate. It has many pits to avoid. It has many challenges to work through. And sometimes we foolishly wander off the right path and we get ourselves entangled in the briars of this world, or we fall into a pit and even break our leg, metaphorically. But God is a faithful shepherd. He's a good shepherd. The grace of God comes looking for us. Our good shepherd finds us and He rescues His lost sheep. He brings His word to us afresh. He gives us brothers and sisters in Christ to teach us or counsel us, to encourage us. He brings His kindness to us that leads us to repentance. And then He frees us from our entanglement. He draws us up out of that pit. He sets our broken bones in place. He carries us back to safety and onto the right path again, the paths of righteousness. If left to ourselves, we would never remain on the path, would we? But God sovereignly preserves us, and He will keep us persevering to the end, keep us following Him to the end. And don't miss what it says at the end of verse 3. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Like we saw last week in Psalm 115, this is all for His glory. We've been saved to bring glory to God. And so now the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to lead us and guide us down the right path so that we would bear fruit for His glory, that our Savior would be magnified. So God gives us guidance and He gives us protection. Look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. There are times of trials and danger in this life. And thinking of sheep, there were predators for the sheep. The shepherd had to lead the sheep into different areas to feed, and so sometimes the predators would lurk in the shadows, or sheep might be scared to go into the valleys and into the shadows, wondering if there was a predator there. You see what David's saying? The sheep don't need to be afraid because the good shepherd is right there with them. The shepherd has his rod, his club to fight off the predators. He has his staff to guide and redirect the sheep away from dangerous cliffs and pits. And so, again, we live in a fallen world with all kinds of evil and trouble. And there's persecution and there's trials. There's disease, there's sickness, there's attacks. And something else we know about sheep is they can't defend themselves, right? They can't outrun their predators. But we have a good shepherd to protect us. And did you notice how in verse 4, things got even more personal, right? David's no longer talking about the Lord in third person. He doesn't say he, but he says you, right? You are with me, your rod and your staff. And so David was mindful of just the intimacy and the presence of God. God is a very present help in times of trouble. David knew that the Lord was right there with him, protecting him, guiding him, helping him in those dangerous times. And we have the same promise for us today in the new covenant. As we face trials, God is there with us. He is a very present help in times of trouble. He is there with us, guiding us, providing us with the grace, the comfort, the strength, and support that we need to get through the difficult times. He's there protecting us. Remember, He's our help and our shield, we saw last week. He protects us from the fiery darts of the devil. And again, we see how the sheep know the shepherd is there with them. And if you think about it, we're never more aware of the presence of God, are we, than in times of trial, in times of danger. That's when we're clinging to the Lord all the more. And the presence of the shepherd means the sheep need fear no evil. We know that God is going to care for us, that He's going to protect us and help us. So, loved ones, when fear or doubt or false teaching or love of the world or discouragement attack us, our good shepherd fights it off, fights those attacks off, protects us. Again, thinking of John 10, when Jesus is saying He's the good shepherd, and He says in verse 29, no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. My sheep are secure. Jesus says they're in my hand and they're in my Father's hand, doubly secure. And so our good shepherd keeps us, leading us day by day as He protects us. He doesn't shield us from all the trouble or the pain, but He protects us by drawing us close, reviving our faith, comforting our soul, and giving us strength to persevere. And before we move on, as I read these words in verse 4, I couldn't help but think again of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ, how He entered into the valley of the shadow of death. He suffered on the cross in our place. And there was no rod to protect Him. There was no staff to comfort Him. No, He suffered God's wrath in our place. To the very dregs, He drank the cup of God's wrath. But then, having died for our sins, as our substitute, He rose from the dead in victory over sin and death and our enemy, Satan himself. And then, having made full atonement, he was vindicated. He was glorified in His resurrection and ascension. And so now He reigns in victory at the right hand of God. And that really helps lead to our fourth heading as we move into verse 5, and we see the picture kind of change from one of a shepherd to one of a banquet. And so here in verse 5, we see our fourth set of blessings that God graciously gives us. Joy and hope. Joy and hope. Look at verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, the picture switches from God as a shepherd to God as a host of a great banquet. And this isn't just any banquet. This is a victory celebration. We are seated at God's victory banquet with enemies nearby. And they're chained. They're defeated. They're powerless to stop the celebration. They've been defeated. They've been conquered. They've been led captive to this celebration before they are vanquished forever. And it's pointing us ahead to the Revelation 19. We know the risen Christ is the host of this great feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb that we read about in Revelation chapter 19. And we have a foreshadowing of it here in Psalm 23. Again, Christ has already defeated sin and death and Satan, and one day He's going to return and eradicate all evil once and for all. And then He will gather us all to be with Him forever in the new heavens and the new earth, and we'll reign with Him. We'll rejoice with Him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, like it says here in verse 6. We will forever be with our great God and Savior in a place of glory and peace and joy. No more trials, no more valleys of shadows of death to navigate, but just the glorious presence of our Lord and with all the saints forever. And what a day that will be. And this is our sure hope. This is our certain future. And knowing that hope, knowing that future gives us joy in the present. And that's the picture that's given here in verse 5 about the you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. That signified joy and gladness. Isaiah 61, which is one of those prophecies about the Messiah, the one who would be anointed with the Spirit of the Lord. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning." And that's the passage Jesus read in the synagogue at Nazareth as He began His public ministry. And He said, "Today it's been fulfilled in your hearing. I am that servant who's been anointed with the Spirit of the Lord. This is why I've come." And so, yes, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has come. He has brought good news. He has set us free from bondage to the penalty of sin, the enslaving power of sin. He's given us precious promises. And so we can be glad, we can have joy, knowing again that we have peace with our God, knowing that our future is secure, knowing that we are loved, and that He is our Savior and our Shepherd, that He will never leave us or forsake us. And so now we have joy in this good news, and we can proclaim this good news. And that's what I want to proclaim to you now, to all who are listening, to declare to you this good news that Jesus, the Shepherd King, has come. He has come and secured salvation for all who are united with Him in faith. And He continued, having again died, having lived, died, and rose again in the place of His people, He now continues to call sinners to Himself. He calls sinners to turn from their sin and by faith embrace Him as Lord and Savior. Today His call goes out through His people by His Spirit. The call goes out to come to Him, to turn from your sin. And so today, if you hear His voice, the Bible says, do not harden your hearts, but rather come. Come to the Savior. Come to Him. He is a good shepherd. He is a loving King. Come to Him and find life. Find rest. Find that provision for your soul. Lastly, then, in verse 6, we see the fifth pair of blessings that God graciously gives us. We already read it, but I wanted to highlight it: goodness and mercy. Verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Because the Lord is our shepherd, because Jesus has laid down His life for the sheep, we will one day dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, we will one day be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all the saints in the glorious presence of God, in a place of no more sorrow, no more pain, no more evil or death. So that's our future. That's our sure hope, like we talked about. But notice, until that day, as we wait that day, as we wait Christ's return, we know that, look, God's goodness and mercy will follow us all our days. Goodness is simple enough to understand, right? It's God's goodness. Mercy means His steadfast love. And that verb follow, it actually means to pursue, to actively pursue. And so what a beautiful picture we have here. And if I could could go back to the shepherding picture. It's like we have our good shepherd leading us down paths of righteousness, and we have his two sheepdogs, if you will, goodness and mercy, following us, pursuing us, kind of directing us and corralling us when we get off track and leading us to make sure we stay on the right path to pursue us, because again, we're prone to wander, but God provides all that we need. And so his goodness, his mercy never stops pursuing us. Even when our hearts get cold, even when we get distracted, no, his goodness and mercy pursues us and brings us back into close fellowship with him. Praise God. And so God, this is a promise that God will continue that pursuit. He will continue to guide and provide and comfort and empower and love us all the days of our pilgrimage here on this earth. And so, again, I know these are difficult times. And some of you are going through serious trials. And all of us feel the weight of the uncertainty of just this season. But remember that God is with you. Remember that the Lord is our shepherd. He is with us, providing, guiding, protecting, restoring our soul. And because of God's all-encompassing care, his goodness, his mercy, his gracious provision, his protection, we know that we will make it safely through this life and all the way to the celestial city. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And there we'll enjoy that great feast with our loving Shepherd King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we all were like sheep that have gone astray. We had each turned to our own way, and yet you did not leave us in our sin, but you sent your own Son, the Good Shepherd, to lay down his life for his sheep. And by his wounds, by his sacrifice on the cross, we are healed. We are brought back into fellowship with you. Thank you for your grace that sought us and bought us and called us to yourself. Oh God, thank you for being our loving shepherd. What an amazing truth to know that Almighty God loves us and will provide all that we need in this life. Father, help us to trust you. Lord, give us peace as we follow you. And may we walk closely with you in fellowship, and may your word and your spirit just daily cleanse us and strengthen us and restore us. And Father, I pray for the people of Abounding Grace Church, especially for all your people around this world who find themselves in difficult times and just the daily struggles of this life. Father, will you minister in a special way to them? Will you draw them close, Lord? Will you give them peace? Help them to trust you. Remind them of your precious promises. Remind them of who you are. Remind them that they're not alone. And that even when we don't know what's happening in this world, that you know and you're in control and you're the one guiding us and protecting us. Lord, please provide for your people. Provide for the physical needs. Again, I pray for those who are looking for work. Lord, please give them employment that they can provide for their families. Lord, for those who need healing, Lord, we pray that you'll bless them. For those, Lord, going through spiritual struggles, please give them the grace they need. Father, what a privilege it is to be your people, to be the sheep of your pasture. May we bring glory to you as we walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, loved ones, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant. May he equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working as he works in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.